So when it says all things become new, what do you think that means? Some things, half of the things, most of the things, or
all things?
All things. So is there any area of our life, if by faith in Jesus we say we're going to follow and obey him, we repent and say, Lord, we want all of you and nothing of us, and if we become a new creation, I have a question. What part of our life, our old life, our sinful flesh, can we hold on to and say, Lord, I'll obey you in everything, just not here, here, or here? Can we do that?
No.
No. No. We can't do that, can we? It's a total surrender when God gives us the Spirit, and we are totally his servants now, his messengers, his workers. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're made for good works. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And it's by grace through faith we are saved. Here's a big lie of the churchianity systems, right? Have you ever heard of grace alone and faith alone?
No.
Okay, well, good. You haven't heard that, because that's what many of them teach, that you're saved by just the grace of God and by faith alone, and nothing you do affects your salvation. That's absolutely not true, because if you live on in sin, you're not going to find salvation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Why? Yes, because God's a conditional God, not an unconditional God.
Yeah.
Right? So by faith, repentance, you now are born again by the Spirit of God. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you another question now. So this has happened to all of us. Our old lives have all passed away. We became new creations. We no longer want what we used to want. We want eternal things. We want the kingdom of God. We have all lost what everything God calls us to lose, whether it be family, friends, our own desires in life, our pride, our vanity, our church systems that we were all raised in. We lost all of that for the cause of Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
So what's the fruit if you're a born-again child of God?
What's the fruit?
What's the fruit of your life? What's your life going to look like? Are you going to live in any sin willingly? Keep going?
No.
Why not?
Because you're born again, therefore the old things that were once in you are no longer, because you are fully born again.
Amen. Amen. So God's Spirit is in you, and he's the Holy Spirit. And we talked about yesterday, holy means set apart, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you're holy and you're set apart, there's no area of your life where you can continue to practice. Let's call it that. Practice sin. Do you understand the difference between practicing sin and just either slipping into sin or making a mistake once and going, oh, I sinned, I got to stop that? Do you understand the difference between that?
No, I don't.
Let me ask you a question. You work a job, and let's say you drove a forklift.
Yes.
Okay? And your boss really likes you. And you're a good worker. And one day, I mean, you work for him for 6 months, and you're a good worker, no issues. One day, you hit a pylon, and you wipe out a whole rack of goods by mistake, by mistake. And your boss goes, what happened? And you go, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. I should have went wider on that turn. And the boss goes, looks at the video, and he goes, yeah, yeah, honest mistake. He didn't mean to do it. And he goes, you know what? Wow, glad you didn't get hurt. Not a problem. We forgive you. You're going to watch out and be more careful, right? And you go, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, boss. I don't want to do that. I'll be extra, extra, extra careful. That's something you did wrong, or you made an error, a mistake, and you say, I'm sorry, and you repent of it. Your boss can easily forgive you from that, can't he?
Yeah.
Now, what if you had a person that drove a forklift, and every week they were running into pylons willingly and on purpose, crashing product all over the place? And the boss goes, this is happening all the time. We're watching a video. It looks like he's doing it on purpose. Do you think that man's going to find forgiveness and keep his job?
No.
Do you see how the difference between willful sin, I know it's wrong, I keep doing it by my own will, God is going to judge me for that, versus a sin I did and I shouldn't have done it, or I made a mistake falling into it and I quickly recovered, repented, and said I'm sorry. You see the difference?
Yeah. You put it in matters like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's what sin of like worldly churchianity is. They keep sinning on purpose, knowing it's sin, and they won't turn away from it and stop. We talked about a bunch of those issues yesterday, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Let me read a passage of scripture to you that should terrify you. By the way, do you believe you should have fear of God?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because that's the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs. Good. So yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. This is why we don't practice willful sin. This is why we don't keep doing sin. All right? Here's what it says. For if we sin willfully, that means you keep doing it even though it's wrong, you're looking with lust all the time, you're stealing, you're lying, you're doing false man-made traditions and offering to God, you're running into pylons all the time at work on purpose. If we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins. Hey, don't we need a sacrifice for our sins to find eternal life? Look what it says. If you keep or I keep or Zelos keeps sinning on purpose, Jesus' blood doesn't cover us, does it?
No.
But look what waits for that person. But a certain fearful looking of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Do you see why we turn away from sin and stop doing it?
Yeah.
Because if you have, let's say you have 20 sins in your life today, which I hope you don't. But let's say you do. Let's say you find out and you make a list and you go, wow, I'm living in 20 different sins. And what happens, Alex, if you say to God, okay, God, I repent. Here's 18 of my sins. I'm throwing them before the stake of Jesus. I want to be cleansed by his blood of them. I'll never do them again. But two you hold on to and go, these I'm probably going to keep doing. I have a question. Does Jesus' blood cover those two sins you're holding on to?
No.
No. Do you see the danger of worldly, man-made, false tradition Christianity that keeps practicing sin that God never ordained and they keep doing it over and over?
Yeah.
They're not walking in the truth and their sin is going to be on them, not on Christ.
Yeah.
That's why we preach against them. So I want you to understand that. Jesus did it all, his part of the covenant. Do you have a part of the covenant to keep, Alex?
Yes.
You do. What's your part of the covenant to keep?
My part of the covenant to keep is to keep God's commandments and to continue living for God.
Amen.
And obey him.
Amen. Amen. To continue on, and we'll get to that part. So when you're born from above through faith and repentance, the fruit of your life is going to be holiness and obedience. Holiness means to be set apart for God. How are we set apart for God?
How are we set apart from God?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, like, set apart? Like,
set apart means how are we different? How do we live different?
Oh, from, like, other people?
Yep, from the culture. From the culture. From Satan's kingdom. How do we live different than Satan's kingdom? Pride, vanity, sports, politics, churchianity, entertainment. How do God's people live different?
Well, they don't involve themselves with
right.
that. They live apart from that.
That's set apart, right? And that's what the word, I need to throw this in here. That word church, in the Greek, it's ekklesia, and it actually means called out ones. That's beautiful. Called out ones. So if you're really a child of God, you are called out of the world and Satan's kingdom to be a child of God and follow his kingdom. And we don't just belong to the church systems of men, we belong to Christ. We're his bride.
Yeah.
And he wants a spotless bride.
Yes.
And so holiness and obedience. Obedience is pretty clear. You read the word of God, you see it's for you today, you keep it, you obey it, and you follow it. Pretty simple. You have a job, the boss says, here's the rules, this. Do this, and you get a paycheck, and you can work as long as you want. Pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you don't do this, you don't show up on time, you run over the pylons on purpose, you treat everybody wrong, you break our rules, you don't get the job. See ya.
Yeah.
So God says, I'll bring you redemption in Christ. He makes you eligible. But now in order to receive it, you got to repent. You got to walk in my ways. And as fruit, you must abide and remain in Jesus like Noah remained in the wooden ark. And we do that by following him and obeying him. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the fruit that you're born of God, Jesus said we know a tree by its fruit. The fruit that you're born of God is you have the desire. If you read Galatians 5, it tells us the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts and the fruit, or the fruits, not the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering. But I like to go to Ephesians 5:9 because it really kind of drives a wedge between us and churchianity. The fruits of the Spirit is goodness, truth, and righteousness. So if you've got the Holy Spirit of God, truth becomes your desire. It drives you. Jesus is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. The Word is the truth. His people should be the truth.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you root out every false way in your life. And here's why we root out every false way. If we go to Psalm 119. And
Psalm 119?
Yeah, Psalm 119. And then we go to 104, verse 104. This is why we root out every false way. Ready? It says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So let me ask you a question. If the Spirit of God is in you, will we love the truth?
Yes.
If we love the truth, what will we feel about the opposite, lies?
About lies?
What will we feel about it? I just read it.
Can you read it again? I was looking for the scripture.
Yeah. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So if it makes sense, doesn't it? If you love the truth, you would hate the lies.
Yeah.
Right? And the Holy Spirit convicts you about lies and has you dislike them, hate them, and has you purge lies from your life because lies are not consistent with a new creation born of the Spirit of truth, are they?
Yeah.
So as you're following Christ now as this new creation by faith and repentance, you're testing everything you do. How you talk, how you dress, how you act, how you spend your money, who you associate with, what you practice, Sunday churchianity, Christmas, Easter, what I'm watching before my eyes, sports, TV, politics, entertainment, the music I'm listening to. All of this gets tested against the Word of God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do with anything that you find is not modeled in God's word or taught directly against in God's word? What do you do with it?
You avoid it.
You repent of it. You get rid of it. You throw it out, pluck it out. Jesus said, pluck it out, cut it out, tear it out. Get rid of anything that's going to cause you to sin, because sin, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Amen. So you want to get rid of all sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. So by the fruit of a godly person that's truly born again. See, many people say they're born again, but by their fruit we can see they're not. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you look at godly people that are truly born of God, you can't even find sin in them that they're doing willful.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're 100% perfect, never make a mistake. Nope, I'm not that. I will make a mistake. Sometimes I do get in my flesh. But guess what I have to do when I get in my flesh?
Repent.
Yeah, I don't walk in it. I don't live in it. I don't continue in it. When I find a false way I'm doing, I rip it out and get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't keep doing it. So when people say, oh, so you think you're perfect? Well, the Bible tells me to be perfect 20 times in the New Testament, over 20 times. But perfect means complete and mature. And we can be complete and mature by following God's word, can't we? We'll never be perfect like Jesus was on earth, meaning perfectly sinless. We'll never be that.
Yeah.
But we don't have to live in sin, do we?
No.
No. Do you think God gives us the power to overcome sin?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I ask a lot of people that say, this is what churchianity says. We're all sinners. We're all going to live in a lot of sin. We can't help ourselves. Do you know what question I always ask, Alex?
What?
I ask this question of men. What sin are you doing that the Holy Spirit can't help you stop? You think there is one?
Nah.
No.
I don't think there is a sin that the Holy Spirit can't help you with.
But that's what they're saying. Oh, we're all a bunch of sinners. We sin all the time. No. No, no. Here's an important point. God's true saints are never called sinners in the Bible. Do you know what they're called? I just said it.
What?
I just said it. God's true saints.
Saints.
What are they called?
I don't know.
They're called saints.
They're called saints.
God's true people are called saints. People that live in sin are called sinners. See the difference?
Yeah.
Now, if you're claiming to be of Jesus and you go into willful sin that you won't repent of, guess what we're going to call you?
A sinner.
A sinner, because you're practicing sin. But if you say, oh, brothers, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I see the word. I repent. I want to be cleansed by Jesus. God says he'll forgive you if we walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, which is the truth, he's faithful. We can be cleansed. Okay, read the whole book of 1 John chapter 1. And then we don't call you a sinner because you're not living in sin. Then we call you a saint.
A saint.
A saint. Huh. So the churchianity system is basically a bunch of sinners. Why?
Because they practice sin.
Very good. They're practicing sin. And we'll talk about what sins they practice when we finish the gospel. So we'll recap. By faith, we covered what it is. By repentance, you're born from above, new life. The fruit of your life is holiness and obedience, testing all things, coming out of every false way, practicing all the ordained ways. Ordained means God established it, told us what to do. The doctrines. Do you know what the word doctrine means?
No, I do not.
It means instruction.
Instruction.
So all the doctrines in the Bible, in the New Testament, and some in the Old Testament, tell you and me and Zelos in our houses how to live to follow Jesus.
Okay.
So at your company, you probably have a list of instructions, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep, that's the doctrine of your company, and your boss says, follow these rules, this is how we do our job here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put the seatbelt on, right? You probably got to have the light flashing, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yep. But if you don't do that stuff, you ain't going to have the job long.
Yeah.
You don't follow God's doctrines, it's either fruit you're not born of him, or you're living in willful, rebellious sin. And if you don't turn from that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, either away from me, I never knew you, or I don't cover willful sin, I cover repentive sin.
Yeah.
So it's one or the other. So you'll be repentive, and you'll be walking in holiness and obedience in all your ways, and the last part of the gospel. What do you think it is? We covered it yesterday.
The last part of the gospel.
The last part. All these things we're walking in. What do you have to do?
Live apart from them?
Well, no. You have to endure. You have to endure. So I'm married. What happens if I run off on my wife with another woman? Have I endured in my marriage?
No.
No. What happens if Brother Zelos divorces his wife for no reason? Did he endure in his marriage?
No.
No. What happens if you don't show up at your job or you break all the rules? Did you endure in your job?
No.
No. What happens if you don't keep following Jesus and keep obeying everything he's told you to do in his doctrines and instructions till the day you die or he comes back and you turn away into sin or unbelief? Have you endured?
No.
No. He tells us in Matthew 24 that those who endure to the end will be saved. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, you have the hope of eternal life if you remember what I preach to you, lest you believe in vain. So that is the gospel. Thank you for being patient. Let me go over that in great detail. Faith, repentance, born from above, holiness and obedience as fruit you're of him, enduring in the faith to the end. And what I'm going to tell you is, I don't know of any church system in America that is keeping, teaching, and living that full gospel out.
Yeah.
If we look at your church, do you think they're keeping that gospel?
No.
They're not. I'm glad you admit that. They're not. So how many sins did it take to throw Adam and Eve out of the garden?
One.
Yeah. How many sins? Let's see. Maybe you know this. Maybe you don't. Two priests in Leviticus 10 brought God strange fire, meaning God said, worship me this way. They went and worshiped a different way. Guess what God did to them?
Struck them down.
Yeah. Fire came out and burned them to a crisp. How about this one? In Acts 5, a husband and wife lied to the Holy Spirit and said they'd sell land and give money. And guess what God did to them because they lied and he made an example out of them to everyone. Guess what God did with a husband and a wife?
What?
Killed them both. Ananias and Sapphira. This is after Jesus rose from the grave. They lied and they were unrepentant about it and God killed them. This is why Paul says, work out your salvation with, do you know what? Fear and trembling.
With what? Fear and trembling?
Fear and trembling.
Oh, fear and trembling.
You said we should fear God, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's smart to fear God?
Yeah.
Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, notice obedience, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do you think that means, young man?
To fear the Lord no matter what.
Yep.
And through fearing the Lord will come new ways of living for the Lord.
Yeah, obey him, right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't obey him, here, let me read another verse. I want to read a verse to you. Romans, the book of Romans is an awesome book. Romans 6, verse 16. You don't have to go there. I'm just reading these to you. Ready? Listen to this. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are whom you obey. So Paul is saying, whoever you obey, you're a servant to that. Ready? Whether of sin to death. So if you obey your flesh and man-made churchianity and the culture, you do sin. What does it lead to?
Death.
Yeah. Or obedience unto righteousness. What does obeying God and Jesus Christ lead to?
Righteousness.
Yeah, which leads to eternal life.
Yeah.
Righteousness is what is right before a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the gospel by which you claim to follow Christ, because that is the biblical gospel. I'm going to ask you a question here. So it's like five, it's like we call it five steps. Do we have to have faith for salvation?
Yes.
Do we have to repent?
Yes.
Do we have to be born from above?
Yes.
Do we have to obey in holiness and obedience?
Yes.
Do we have to endure?
Yes.
Which one of those can we throw out and still make it to the kingdom of God?
None.
You need them all.
Yeah.
The church systems don't have them. Most of them stop at faith. They don't even have a biblical faith. Some of them get to repentance, but they don't repent of all their sin, do they?
No.
Most of them don't believe what really being born from above is, and they don't have the fruit of holiness and obedience, and they're not enduring in holiness and obedience and following Christ. They're enduring in man-made traditions.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Brother Zelos, you've been listening. What would you add to that gospel presentation that the Lord would have you speak to this young man? I there's a lot more we could cover, but I tried to cover quite a bit of it. What would you add for this young man?
I would probably just add that you have to understand
The reason you do that is because it's appointed unto all men once to die, and after this comes judgment. That nothing we do is just because we feel like it. There's a purpose for it, there's a reason for it, and you have to do it with diligence, and you have to do it seriously, because if there's one major issue, besides that people don't have faith or anything else, it's that they don't fear God, and they don't take Him seriously.
Amen.
You have to take it seriously. Like, this gospel, Brother Tupos didn't cover that, but this is something that if you believe something and you profess faith in it, you also have to be ready to die for it.
Yeah,
we would all die for the gospel we believe.
Yeah, we were going to go there next, although I did cover it in the beginning. Remember what I asked him?
Yeah.
I did ask him, would he be willing to lose everything? And we were going to cover that. Your life itself was going to be part of that. We were going to cover that.
Yeah, that's basically what I would talk about. Like, this gospel, if you understand it, understanding it is good. Now you have to purpose in your heart and commit to it to the point where you understand and would die for it. And you have to be willing to fight for it.
Yeah, amen. Does that make sense, Alex?
Yeah, it does.
So we covered that gospel. What, your thoughts, your questions, anything about that? Because like the second time we covered the gospel with you in 2 days, and that's awesome. I love it. We'd cover it every day with somebody if they needed it. Any questions or thoughts or observations from you, Alex?
Not really. Just
anything you don't understand.
It's not that I don't understand, but it's more of a question. Like, whenever y'all say die for it, what does that look like to y'all? Dying for the gospel. Dying for the gospel.
Yeah, dying for the gospel. Well, there's two different ways to die. You die while you're living, and then you physically die. So, let me go to marriage. Ready? I married my wife. My old life before I married her died.
Okay.
So I don't run with other women. I don't run with bad influences. I don't run separate on my own way. Her and I run together as a team.
Yeah.
Right now, that's losing my physical life, losing my life here on earth to be with her. Now, I would lose my life physically defending my wife, like if a grizzly bear attacked us, or, you know, if I push her out of the way of a train, or taking a bullet or whatever, I would give my life for my wife. I would sacrifice my physical life for her as well so that she could live. And Jesus said, no greater love than you sacrifice your life for a friend or a man or a neighbor.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean. Okay. That's what we mean when we say lose your life. Matthew 10, Jesus said, lose your life. Basically, drop your net, come follow me, do what I tell you to do. That's losing your life here on earth. And then he also would call you. The day comes when they say, hey, come here, young man. Some people with guns and axes, and they go, you a Christian? If you are, we're going to kill you. Well, if you deny the Lord, what do you think is going to happen to you?
He's going to deny you.
Yeah. But if you go, I am a Christian, I don't want to die today, but if the Lord wants me to die today for his name, I will. I am a Christian. And you be willing to give your life up. Let me read to you something that'll encourage you. Acts 7. You've heard of Stephen?
Stephen, no, sir.
Stephen was the first Christian martyr, they say. Well, in the Bible, he was the first Christian martyr. Let me go to Acts 7 and read. I want to read this for you. This is Stephen, who was about to be stoned for the faith. You know, they used to, the Jews would pick up rocks and stone people to death. You think a pretty brutal death, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't die from one stone blow unless they hit you really hard in the head. Usually they pummel your body and everything, and oh, and you're getting hit with 20 rocks, and finally one or two finish you off and knock you out. Pretty brutal way to die, right?
Yeah.
But watch what Stephen says. Let's see. I want to find the verse before. Here, verse 51. This is a man that's about to die. Ready? Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in your heart ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, and your fathers did so. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them with showed before the coming of the just one, whom ye have now, the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they have heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." He's about to die, Alex. "And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And when they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. That was who would become Brother Paul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He kneeled down. He cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That means he died.
Yeah.
Do you see how he died for the Lord?
Yeah.
He wasn't begging for his life. He wasn't going, no, I'm not a Christian. Don't kill me. I want to live longer. I don't think Stephen was that old of a man either. We don't know how old, but doesn't matter. Old, young, middle-aged. He gave up his life for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we mean by that. Lose this life now. You're a young man. If you wanted to be a professional football player, that's not of God. You got to give that up. If you wanted to own a bar, that's not of God. You got to give that up. If you wanted to become a rich man like Elon Musk and be famous, God says, watch out. Money's not evil, but if you desire to be rich, that's a trap and a snare. Give that up and serve God. That's what we mean by lose your life. Brother Zealous, what would you add to that?
Yeah, that would be the ultimate conclusion of it. To lose your life and die for the gospel in the more right now sense for you is, are you willing? Brother Tupos asked that, but it is a very important point, because we have this thing, a saying just among the body, people choose hills to die on, which means that they're willing to give up A, B, C, D, E, and it gets to F and they go, oh,
that's too hard.
And they're not willing to lay it down. They're not willing to give that up. They're not willing to go that far. They think there's a limit to which they go. We must not love our lives unto the death. Basically, every single thing, from every breath you take in the morning to night, and everything that is covered from your entire life, you have nothing. You must be willing to die and lay it all down for Christ.